Well, hi, this is Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. I am so excited and thrilled about today's show and today's guest. Today's guest is Lucia De Garcia, and she is the author of the book, Building Bridges of Understanding, My Personal Quest for Unity and Peace. And when we talk about leading an unlimited life, I can't imagine a better subject than building bridges of understanding and having a quest for unity and peace that really does cross every line, every barrier, every border, every wall, every hurdle. She is an extraordinary woman. She is the founder, the president, and the CEO of Elan International. And Elan assists both foreign and domestic enterprises in Latin America business practices. They open new markets, they expand markets, they share throughout all the hemisphere an entirely different way of communication and living. She is the founder of the Multicultural Institute for Leadership. She is a trustee emeritus for the Jane Goodall Institute and a former board member and international trade relations chair of the Latin Business Association. She is so incredibly accomplished. She has received praise from influential political, community, and business leaders from several countries. She has been a keynote speaker for numerous domestic and international organizations, including the State of the World Forum, which was chaired by Mikhail Gorbachev, the former Mexican President Vicente, the Tony Robbins Research Mastery University, the Republican Governors Association on National Conference, the World Congress of Women Business Owners, and the Global Summit. Her recognition and awards are, I mean, they go from my nose to my toes, but just some of the highlights include the Society for Advancement of Management, the Millennial 2000 Manager of the Year Award, the Latin Business Association Salute to Hispanic Business in Appreciation and Dedication to the Hispanic Business Community, Minorities in Business Magazine, the Multicultural Prism Award, the United States Hispanic Chamber of Congress, the International Business Award, 1994 to 1995, Hispanic Business Magazine ranked Elan International, her company, as the third fastest growing Hispanic company in the United States. Let me say that one more time. In 1994 to 1995, Hispanic Business Magazine ranked Elan International as the third fastest growing Hispanic company in the United States. Do you know how hard that is to do? How many companies there aren't to be ranked that highly? And from 1996 to 2003, Elan International made the United States Hispanic Business Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 list. She is an author. She is a poet laureate. She is an incredible, incredible gift to so many countries. You can find documentaries that have been done about her, radio shows that have been done about her. They have in the Global Vision Network, she is profiled with Simon & Schuster Insights as one of the 100 most powerful Latin business professionals. She was born in Colombia, South America. She's multilingual, she's multicultural, and she is truly one of the most extraordinary people I've ever met. And not only does she have an extraordinary heart and extraordinary vision, but she's able to bridge that between this community, our community, other countries, other worlds on such a global level of excellence that I'm honored and pleased and proud to welcome today's guest, Lucia De Garcia. Lucia, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me here, and I'm already impressed with Nicole with all this that you talk about me, because in my life, I do is past, you know, and what I do is today, and what I'm going to do is desire and passion. So thank you so much for reminding me what I have done, because it's good to be part of the growth of the transformation of world community. Thank you, Nicole.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So I want to start with the book. I mean, we've got so much to talk to today, but first, I love the title, Building Bridges of Understanding, My Personal Quest for Unity and Peace. And what sparked the beginning? How did you decide to write this book? Who were you writing the book for, and what has been the effect of this book in communities around the world? Because I know it's just so extraordinary.
Thank you. The reason I wrote it was because not only I come from a multicultural family also a multicultural community. In Colombia, South America, it was the gate from Spain when they came to conquer us because we were conquered. Here in the United States, you were colonized, but in South America, we were conquered. So people came from all over Europe, and we have blood that is Spanish, from Spain, French, Italian, Russian, you name it. And in my family, there were different colors, different personalities. And the more I saw what was going on with diversity, when I came to this country, I said, okay, finally, I go to the United States. And it's going to be different for me. Well, guess what? Surprise. It was that I was a Latina. I already got a label. And I wanted to do something for society. There is no difference. We are all one. And I started documenting my life. At the same time, while I am not even thinking about writing the book, I traveled the world, and I saw the same thing happening in every community. No matter where I go, Mongolia, you know, with the Russians and the Mongolese, and China with different immigrations, in Greece, you know, what are the diverse country, Turkey, and the countries that I go, I don't mention the ones that everyone goes, you know, in Europe and South America. I mention one of those exotic countries that there's so much to learn about them, the Middle East. And finally, when I used to tell the stories to my friends and family, they were encouraging me, says, you must write a book. And that's how the book was born. And it has won numerous awards, as you said in the bio, and building bridges became a mantra. And you see how I translated it, or I wrote it in Spanish too at the same time. Translations are not the same. I wrote the book in Spanish. And today, with the immigration issues, with what is going on with the health problems in this, you know, with the politics and everything, you read this book, and it's almost as if you need to read it every day to make sure and remind yourself that human beings are capable of doing whatever they are set to do, whatever their mission is. And today, my mission was and is to build bridges of understanding. Okay.
That's so beautiful. Oh, that's so incredible. And then you've been on tour with this book and in other countries and here. And I know that I personally had one of the most amazing opportunities to hear you read from this book as well as from your book of poetry. And there is something about not just the words in the book, but when you read from it, it came to life. This energy of this space, that there is no space between us. And so can you talk about some of those places that you've done readings and what the response has been from the people that actually hear these words come to life?
Yes, I think the most that I remember, and my family have, when they come in and watch me speak to people, they say, well, they call you, they invite you, and then you made them cry, as if crying was a sin. I make people cry because the words touch their hearts. And in today's world, you don't find too many people that can reach that point. So that's a gift. So the one that comes to my mind that I'm most grateful for is Tony Robbins, when I spoke to 3,500 people and I told them my story. And they came from 62 countries from all over the world, of course. And so what I found out was that my words were a common denominator. What I speak about is a common denominator. So where do I do readings? One of them, I mean, if you want me to just go over, another one that was really great was the State of the World Forum with Gorbachev, and Vicente Fox Quesada, and it was for 5,000 people. Same thing happened.
I mean, I know when I listen to you read, it's an experience that I've never had in my life. I felt if there was some well inside of me. I felt that life, the same way that you would imagine water being poured from a pitcher into a glass, I felt like life was being poured into me when you were speaking, and I actually had chills in my body, like ripples, not cold, but ripples of light, and it was almost like each little cell was awakening up, and my whole body was emotional. I felt like my fingers were emotional. My heart was emotional. It's one of those experiences I will remember always when the first time I heard you read. And
thank you.
Truly.
I have to tell you a little anecdote. When I was little, I was afraid. We were 11 children, brothers and sisters, and I was so afraid to speak because your voice has to be very loud to be able to be heard. So as I grew up, I couldn't say a word. I paralyzed every time I came into contact with anybody. On one-on-one, I was okay. So I started going through that process that you go, okay, I'm going to walk in and I'm not going to be afraid. Not being a speaker. I'm talking about a speaking period. And then today my voice is the same. Not fear, because I have no fear, because who is speaking through me is a larger being, is a spirit. It's my spirit that you don't need to have a loud voice. And it is so beautiful that you say that, because one time I realized I don't need a coach, I don't need anyone to tell me what my voice should sound like. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Voice, and I know where it comes from. It comes from my heart. And no matter what I am saying, whether I'm talking to my daughters or my friends, or it's the same voice, and I am so blessed that I kept it the same way, intact. You don't play games with your soul. You don't play games with your spirit. I have to be so genuine. You have to be so true to yourself and say, okay, here I am, and this is my voice coming through a higher state, and this is what I have to tell you and share with you. And it's the same thing with the pen, you know. Same thing when you're writing. Let it go and let it be and let it flow. And I appreciate this kind of interviews because it really touches my being and let me say what I need to say to the world. Thank you so much, by the way.
Oh, Lucia, it's such my honor and privilege and pleasure to have you here. It's truly, when I watch you speak, and it's not just, you know, as we talk about the words and you're talking about being true to your heart, it is that heart spirit. When you stand on a stage and you command that presence, but when you look through your eyes, you're seeing the world in an entirely different way. It's interesting. I went the other day to see a premiere musical here in Los Angeles called When You Wish, and it's the life story of Walt Disney.
It's
told through a musical. And at one point, he says to his brother, I wish I could draw you a window, that you could look through that window and see what I see. And I thought that was so incredible, because I feel that way when I watch you on stage, that what you see through your window of the way the world should be and the possibilities of peace and the way for unification is so powerful and it's so beautiful. And when you share, we have an opportunity to see through your window what you see and how you see it, and it's just breathless.
That is so wonderful. And yes, you know, I enjoy doing it. I don't do it as often as, because I never allow myself to go into a canned speech, you know. I never allow myself to be taken by these so-called speaking or speakers below unless they let me be who I am, you know, and be whatever I want, and meaning that with the people that really need us, you know? So anyway.
Absolutely. And then talk to me about Elan. What is Elan, and how did you start it, and what does it do? Because I look at this list of awards and honors for this company. It's absolutely astonishing and phenomenal, and I know it's all true because I know it's all branched from you, and I know how extraordinary you are. But when I mean, my goodness, this is just unbelievable. And so share with me what the company does, how you created it, and what it continues to do, and how people can find the company and you and your work.
Well, I'm always on the edge. And before, we're talking about diversity, okay, about multiculturalism. And then we talk about doing business with Latin America. That whatever I saw, the opportunity that the United States of America had with doing business with Latin America was immense. And having Mexico next to them and not knowing how to deal with cultures and the differences and the difficulties that these business people had when they went all the way to Brazil, for example, or Argentina or Chile, which they are very powerful countries, and they have to come back with their suitcases or their attaché in their, you know, going back on the plane because of something they said that broke completely the deal. So I decided to start Elan as a company that will be lobbying for business, but also helping you, like a stop to come and say, okay, before I go, this is what you have to do. Not etiquette, I don't want to call it etiquette, I want to call it protocol in business. And I started in 1984. And, of course, 6 years, and people were telling me, you know, a company that goes more than 3 years, it won't succeed unless you go over 3 years, and then it was 5, and I was still investing my own money, opening up offices in Newport Beach, in Fashion Island, in a high-rise building where everyone came, and I gave more seminars on how to do business with these countries. And then in 1992, the free trade agreement, the North American free trade agreement came about. And I was one of the biggest supporters and speakers and lobbying for Canada, the United States, and Mexico. And that's when my business started flourishing. How? I will bring a company from France, Utinor, for example, that had a technology to build houses. And I went to Mexico, found a housing project. And then I went to different companies here that are investors, and they invested in this deal. That was one of the biggest deals that I really closed in the 90s. And it was to build 5,000 homes on the border of Mexico and the United States near Tijuana. It wasn't Tijuana, it was more Mexicali. So I found the people that owned the land free and clear. I'm just giving you one particular project and how it worked, because everyone project works different. So that biggest project became very successful. I was being interviewed all over the world. From the Wall Street to the Washington Post, and in London, the one in Manchester. Anyway, at the time, you know, we're talking about there was no internet then, so I was being interviewed. They even sent from Europe somebody to interview me, and they will say, well, Lucia and two more women, Judy Chu and another one that is also a politician, are changing the face of California. At that time, it sounds so so, to me, it was opening my eyes and say, wait a minute, I have something that I am going to promote. Rather than making money, 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 and being a money machine, which is very good because I, you know, the money is good to take you places and expand your company. But at the same time, I was the beginning of that wonderful Latino, Hispanic business, really a pioneer, I would say. That was a pioneer. I was a pioneer with Elan International. But that's not even, the success is wonderful, but you have no idea how hundreds or dozens of people are trying to discourage me. Don't do that. Here in America it's different. Well, here I am. And there are many companies that are doing the same, whether they are successful or they become, you know, and they move into other things. But I'm still, you know, I'm still working on Elan. Today I have a proposal from some Mexican banks that are looking for a platform to invest, for a platform here, a financial company that can invest in several projects that have to do with the new government. And then it's not easy, you know, because you have to make sure they are not corrupted, you know, which is very possible. But the offers are there. I have to be so careful that my integrity remains as I have always been able to guard it, you know. My integrity is number one. My business is my business. And when I am doing business, everyone has to be on the same, use the word, platform, and the same level with me, okay? You know, and investigate them. But that's what I do. You know, today I'm taking these projects very lightly, very careful, because my mission, as you know, is really going all over the world and speaking and promoting the book. But it's not the book, promoting the story. And the story moves people, and the story gives hope. And building bridges gives another ideas to people to say, you know what, I can do it too. And also, do you want to write your book? Yes, you can write your book, because every story is different, but it's the same common denominator. What is the common denomination in writing a book? Is, are you going to be able to move masses? Oh, my story is, no, it's not about your story. Is about what are you doing with your life. If you were so, if you suffer, if you had triumphs, as I say, my triumphs and my tragedies, I look at them with the same love. You look at them exactly the same way. Okay, God, you're giving me this for what? So that's where it becomes my mission, and my business is part of the whole sphere of things, my family, my God, who I believe in spirituality, my friends like you and many of my closest friends, and my life in the community, my humanitarian. That's what the book is all about, you know. What can you do when you have all these wonderful successes, but how did you get there? And what are you going to do? So I encourage people to say, you know what, business, books, anything you do, make sure you have your mission very clear. But that's what I do.
I love that. It's so great. You know, when I speak on stage, I always think, if this is the last time that I was ever going to get to say anything to anybody, what would I say? And like you, you know, I don't have a canned speech. I just, when I'm up there, I just think, if this was my last opportunity to make a difference.
Oh, my goodness. And I saw you the last time, and it was always also very inspiring. And the most beautiful thing, and I'm not interviewing you, you're interviewing me, but I want to how powerful you were on a stage, and then your parents were there, and they have never heard you speak.
Yes.
And be able to have our own family there and say, see, I am not bad after all. like you're always thinking they want more from you. Family are demanding. They are not impressed with you the way you want them to be impressed with you. But yet you were able to do that, and they talked to us. They spoke to your parents, spoke to different people and say, oh, my gosh, we are so taken. But Nicole, that was so beautiful. You know, how many people can talk about that, can say that, how powerful you were there too, but having your parents there.
Thank you so much. And I love sharing the same way that you love sharing. And certainly, you know, it's easier sometimes to do it too on a stage than it is in real life, because somebody had told me yesterday, even about acting, that when you're on stage, there are no consequences, because on stage, if I can yell at somebody, there are no consequences because it's in the script. Or if I do something bad or I do something wrong, there are no consequences because it's in the script. But in life, what you say and do has incredible consequences. And so the impeccability of life, and a lot of people will get on stage and think, no consequences because I'm on stage, instead of realizing this is not a scripted play. This is sharing truth on a higher and grander level. And so I think about you being at the World Congress and the Global Summit. And so what a forum of truth. What a place to stand and to share your truth and to be able to teach people something that, like you're saying, can make a difference in their life, can make them step up, take a stand, actually make a difference in their world. And so I think about the audience that you have captivated. And what was that like to be at the World Congress or the Global Summit?
Well, what is for me, as I go in all these larger organizations, or if I have to realize that there are 500 people to 1,000 to 5,000. You never know. You might be speaking to 100 or you might be speaking to 3,000. But I always look as if you were in a garden or on a prairie and you're on top of the mountain and you're looking at the whole thing, not one by one. You're looking at the whole picture. And it's your own voice. And what is it like is, first of all, the respect that I have for people that fly thousands of miles to come to such an organization that where they know is an opportunity to hear 30 or 20 or 40 of the best speakers in the world. Every one of us, and every one of us has a message. And the minute I get up on a stage, I respect that. But I forget who is there. I know we're all one. Remember, I always say in my poems and everything, we're all one. And when you are on top of the mountain, you will see that the world is ours. It's yours. It's ours. So now this question, I have never, you know, been asked this question before, but how does it feel? It feels respect. It feels you are reaching the hand of God. It's like the painting, the Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci's paintings. There are many. I found out that there are many paintings where the finger, somebody's reaching out, you know, with your hand, and then there's a finger from God almost touching you.
That's incredible. That's so beautiful, and thank you for sharing that. I absolutely just love the image and love the visual and love the fact that you've made such an impact in so many different areas and arenas in your life. And when you were talking about the poetry, I do want to touch on that in just a minute, but I have a question for you as we're staying on this world forum and the bridges of understanding. I know that you have a lot of grandchildren.
Yes,
and when you're talking to your grandchildren, or teaching your grandchildren or to other children, what messages do you share with the children to be able to create this kind of energy for the future? Even, you know, you're magical, Eric, and yes.
You said lots of grandchildren. Yes, I do. Two of my own from one of my daughters and many grandchildren from friends who they come to me and they said, can you be my grandma? And I just went from 2 years to 5 to 7 to 10. And it is so beautiful. It really melts my heart when they come to me and they ask me that. And Mimi, they call me Mimi, as you know, you guys are my grandchildren too. And I look at myself more as an elder, the wisdom that that we through the years have lived. And what do I do with them? First, like with my own grandchildren, I share my hang-ups, if you want to say that, my mistakes. I share with them my mistakes. When I was little, this happened to me. When I was little, I did this. So I become human to them, see? And they laugh, and they share my stories with their schools. And by the way, I'm also sharing my journeys with the schools where they go to throughout the year, since they were very little in kindergarten. Now they are 13 and 14, and I'm still there sharing, and I sit on the floor with them and show them the world and place photographs on this piece of carton, and then we take it to the school. So I think I've been very, very much with them in my message, sharing with them the dark and the light, the day and the night. There's a lot involved with what I do with my grandchildren, a lot. Sharing and worshiping the moon, showing them when the light comes out in the morning, when the sunset and the sunrise. And then the message that I give them is, we are all one. I don't think I have another message. Is we must love the world for what it gives us. Love the earth where you step on, go with them on walks, barefooted in the forest, touching the water, run. I'm very, when you say my poetry, I think my poetry is my life. And the message that I give them is the message of unity and peace and tolerance and patience and harmony. That's what I teach them. That's my message. And they know it. They get it because I just went to Colorado where my grandchildren moved to. And the first thing I did with them was go to museums. In the Museum of Natural Art, the zoo, the Museum of Art. And so they will always remember my Mimi, always show us what other people have created in the world, the arts and nature and the creation of God, and then the universe. Does it answer you? I mean, is that a message? Hello?
I'm listening. I'm just so mesmerized by what you're saying. I love the ritual aspects that you talk about, the moon or the sharing of the night and the day, and that all of these things lead to the message of that the we are one, and that oneness is so spectacular, and that absolutely answers my question. I think that's such a great answer for all those people that are listening. Of where do we begin with our children? I love sharing your imperfections or your foibles or your failings or things that have happened to you that allow them to see and make you accessible.
Yes,
to
that
them
I'm not
instead of this. Yes.
That we are not perfect. And another thing that I miss telling you how this whole ritual, and I'm glad you call it a ritual because that's exactly what it is. Angels, the first gift I give to a child, whether I met him when I saw him when he was born, or any time in his life, angels, that's my gift to them.
Mm.
So it's So also it shows them how to have wings, you know, that they also can have wings. And I think that's the biggest gift that I can give anyone. And because I'm also, you know, surrounded by angels, visual and visible and invisible, you know that.
I remember that you were saying to a friend's child that, you know, you were saying that you would just camp on the lawn with him. And I thought that was so great that you were just saying, I would just be here, you know, in whatever way I can. I would just be right here for you, with you.
Yes.
And also,
you know, one of my things, and for people who listen, children are so tender and so... They can learn so much from us, grown-ups. It's not saying no or yes. It's saying, come here, let's light a candle. Or come here, we do the blessing of the house, the new house. And they know, they when they were very little, I will go with them and give them this, these little aromas to just touch everything with the little finger, you know, the oils.
Yeah.
And put an oil a little bit like touch with this oil that is blessed, everything in the house. So they respect it, you know. But anyway, I think I went too deep into my own.
Lucia, I think that's exactly what I'm asking for, because I think it's so beautiful, and your message does, you know, not only just bridge communities, but it bridges ages. From the littlest baby, I, you know, had the opportunity to speak on Women's Day, where you were speaking to the, you know, Hispanic community, and people, there were little girls there, tiny little girls in these beautiful little dresses, and people carrying babies and pushing baby, and then you had, you know, your sisters and your friends and mothers and grandmothers and aunts and communities, and through the spread of feminine energy, At every age and every level, there was people just held hands. They edged closer to their seat, and they were captivated. It's almost like when they took a breath. It's like when you come up from water from the swimming pool where you go, and it's all of a sudden there is that you can breathe. People had that kind of breath with you, like they could finally breathe being in your presence. Being in your energy, being in your light, being in your words, being in your wisdom. And it didn't matter what the age was. They all had that same breath, that same life force, that same ability, like they finally were taking in this enormous, beautiful light. And so, you know, so I think it was a perfect answer, because it does touch on what you do with children and how you do it with children. And when I remember being at that event, I was also so moved too, because on the screen there could have been horrific images of women that were chained to a wall with a newborn, women that were enslaved, or people that weren't free, or people that were, and yet the energy of the room, even though that information was being taught, it was not hopeless energy in the room. It was a hopeful energy in the room that together we can make a difference. Together we can create a change. Together we're aware of what's happening in the world, and we're here today to share all the different ways you can participate and, you know, help to shift or change this. And I found that a phenomenon, that many people can look at images and instead of being heartbroken, be heartful of fact that there was an opportunity to see it and to shift it and to step into a different kind of a future.
Yeah. Do you remember at that women's presentation, the Hispanic or Latina?
Yes.
How I was feeling when I hear more of the speakers' life stories. And I just thought, no, this is not right. I don't think we have to give them more misery. You know, people love to dwell in their miseries. And some of the stories, and bless their heart, because, you know, they think that sharing those stories is good. I think for people who are hopeless, you give them hope. For people who are yearning for peace, you give them peace. So we have to be very careful who is on a stage sharing their stories with other people. And I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, I do completely. Yes, of course.
They're horrific, and I said it's not fair to 400 women to give this when they have children there too. And so things with you and I and Deirdre and all of us have to change that. We have to make sure that when we come to these communities, we're going to bring that fresh air of hope and show them that there are more ways to go. And that, yes, there is terrible things happening in the world, but that doesn't mean I have to look at them all the time, you know, and read about them. And that's what is so important to when you have that responsibility. You, when you are up on stage, you have a responsibility. You have to make sure that your message is the right message for people. So
absolutely. No, I agree with that. And so in talking about message, I know you work a lot in the Hispanic communities, and not just here, but in other countries. So is there a message for the Hispanic community, and then is there a message for our community to be able to work with the Spanish community so we become one community?
I tell you one thing. It's very important. Just because I am Lucia de Garcia, a representative of a Hispanic being, that doesn't mean that everyone wants to come to an so-called American meeting, okay? I don't know if I should. Let me put it right. To be able to reach out to the Hispanic community, you have to put their shoes. You have to be on their shoes, okay? You have to say, for example, esperanza, okay? Hope. You have to make sure that your message is translated well in Spanish, for example. Make it in a place where they feel comfortable, where they are not threatened, and where they are not intimidated. See? For example, I'm talking about the hotel that we were recently. It's a beautiful hotel, but it's intimidating to many. They just don't go inside, okay? So make sure you have it in a place where it's very comfortable for them. About the message is the same, but interpret the message, not translate it. Interpret the message. What is the message? It's the message that every human being in the world wants. How can I get freedom? What is freedom to you and to me? All they want is what we all want, shelter, education, freedom. I think those three. Did I miss anything? Oh, love. So your message has to be very, very, not primitive, but go down to the basics, okay? How can I reach out to these people? And don't call them these people. How can I reach out to this wonderful community? And all they want is, how can I live a life that has meaning, okay? How can I have my own shelter? How can I have a home, jobs, you know, get work, show them how to communicate with other people. I went to a meeting the other day. It was called Premier Women the other evening on Tuesday. And I couldn't believe they gave us the opportunity to go on a stage and give 5 minutes of what you do. And this girl, probably 25, 30, married with children, she went up and she says, oh, I am, you know, one of those cosmetics like Avon and all that. I sell cosmetics, you know, with a little voice. And then she was just panicking. She couldn't say anything anymore. So we need to teach them, okay, have self-confidence. I came to her table because I am like a I'm always, you know, trying to fix people, but I am always with the compassion, you know, and that I come to them and I said, oh, I can see it. So I gave her a few little tips in how to get up on a stage and sell her own products. So you can see how much they need. I think, Nicole, we need to find in the community. I know what it is, but as a group, find in our community what is it that they need. What do they want? And most of all, how do they feel in this country that have always been afraid because of their, the immigration problems, and they are still afraid to go out, even though they are not anymore and undocumented, okay? I changed a lot of words here in this country. I remember when I used to speak to politicians and I say, don't call them illegal, because illegal make them already criminals. Whether they are or not committing something that, okay, they are coming crossing the border without papers, but why are they coming here? Because they are starving in their country and they know they have an opportunity here. So not to get into politics, but you're asking me, how can we reach out to them? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes. How can we reach out to them? Let's find the things that they want in life. Okay, this is what I want in life. And so let me turn this off.
I love it.
It
shows that real life is happening. It's funny because I was going to ask you, I'm hearing a little bit of the music in the background, and I was going to ask if we can bring it down just a little because I really want to get into your poetry. But yes, but if you can, we had on the bridal show just recently.
Is that okay?
On my bridal show. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, thank you. On the bridal show, we had Cindy Cressy, who is the most renowned travel agent in the world. And as far as exclusive exotic vacations, and she called from the America's Cup to do the interview. She happened to be at the America's Cup, and she running in between two speakers to try to get a signal, and you could hear the call of the boats behind her, and I thought, how perfect, because she does travel. And so it's so perfect to hear your phone ring or the music in the back, because that's who you are. You know, the radio show is not about being anything other than the 1,000% authentic you. So I always love that when you hear somebody's cell phone or music in the background that represents their life or their world or their energy, because, you know, we could always, you know, shift it a little just, you know, for the sound of the show. But it's so the essence of the core of you. So I think that's great.
But anyway, it was soundscapes, and I always keep it very soft in the background when I'm walking around. But I'm glad you told me that it was too loud. I didn't know. But yes, and it's home, you know. And
yeah.
When I'm here, I'm here talking from my home. But what we were saying something about
the message to the community. What is the message
community.
To the community? Yes.
I will tell
how do we help? How do we reach out, and how do we help?
They need us. They need us. There are the entrepreneurs that are wonderful. They are having Latina women. I'm going tonight to another event. It's a big event in Orange County, very elegant. And I love to see my community, our community, really up and going. But there is another segment of our population that is really, really the one we must reach out and say, we're going to take you by the hand and tell me. And that's what our sister Trinidad, and you know about her work, that's what she does. She gives them a lot of hope and she really brings them up from that sheltered life and abusive life that they live, and give them also the presence that they should have in the community. But most of it, you know, we'll talk about that some other time, but really we need the basics to know what do they need And this is how we are all going to do it. And this is how we're going to reach. And guess what? You do it here in our community in Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, you name it, in Texas, in Dallas, in Houston. I have spoken there. And it's the same program. We can take it all over Latin America. It's the same program, you know?
That's so fantastic. That's so wonderful if you just, you know, reach out in front of you, too. I remember that. I heard a song once saying that every minute of every second of every day of every year, there's someone that needs your help right here, not just somewhere far away.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And I never forgot that, because there are those in our local communities and in the outreach communities that certainly can use the presence and the help. And like you're saying, so basic, shelter, education, love. I mean, they're the most basic things and things that are so necessary and so needed. I remember that I was working with One Voice, the organization that feeds the families under poverty level, and they have an adopt-a-family program, and a little boy grabbed the towel out of the box. And Lucia, he grabbed the towel and he held on to the towel and he said, "Is this a pillow? I've never had a pillow before."
Oh my goodness.
I know it's a towel, but he had never had a towel either. It was like, I mean, just incredible.
Well, I tell you one thing, I have a red couch in my living room and I love it, and the other day I said, "I just want to go and sleep there." And all of a sudden, I remember when we were growing up, and we had to sleep in my mother's room because she was, I'm not talking about anything sad, but she was leaving us. You know, she was almost dying. And they brought the girls, five of us, to sleep with her in her room. And they gave me this red couch. And they couldn't put beds, okay? And so I slept on the couch waiting for her to pass on. And somehow I see this couch and I want to go back. And it's almost like that hope, like you're saying, okay, this is what I have for a bed. And I want to go back to that because for me personally is remembering those things with love, you know. It's not that I didn't have a bed. It's that I, hello, are you there?
I'm here, yes, absolutely.
And not that I didn't have a bed. The kid that he thought that the tower was a pillow. But for me, I thought that in my life, that was my bed, you know, a couch, red couch. It wasn't as comfortable as mine here, but we were not poor. We were just, at the time, we were going through different stages, you know, during somebody dying of cancer, my mother, and leaving 11 children from ages 21 to 1, you know, 1 to 21. So anyway, you have no idea what needs these people have. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's so special. And I love the inspiration, and I love the heart and the simplicity in which you share things. Because it really is, you know, something we all can do to make the community better and to make each other's lives work, or like you're saying, even the right words to grow your business, or the right customs, or the right, just the awareness, the attunement to how someone else lives and where they are in that present moment in time. And so that's so special. And then I'm looking at your bio, which is just incredible, by the way, and it talks a lot about your awards for poetry. You even won the World Academy of Arts and Culture President's Gold Medal for Poetic Excellence at the World Congress for Poets in the Republic of China, which is just astonishing. And so did you start poetry first before you wrote long-form books, or did the poetry come after, or is poetry something you've always done, and do you see something and all of a sudden you're inspired to write a poem about that energy or moment or thought or time?
I think poetry came late in my life, and it was about 4 years ago, 4 or 6 years, I don't remember. I think it was in the 2006 or something that I wrote my first poem, and I had no idea. When you join the World Academy, they all talk about different kinds of poetry. You know, you have to rhyme, you have to find this, and you have to find that, and my poetry just came as it is, you know, as I'm talking. And one time in one of the congresses, we have World Congress of Poets in different parts of the world. And one time somebody came, he was an intellectual, and he says, poetry never started with a rhyme. And he started showing us how languages, for example, in the Greek language is a poetry. The Sanskrit is a poetry. Poem is poem, a poem. So I realized, okay, I am free. And I started writing, and the first poem got the Silver Award, the one when I started speaking with God. My book of poetry, Lucia de Garcia, A Peaceful Light, and My Journeys to the Center of the Heart, became very simple as my conversations with God. And I started asking God, God, where are we? Where are you? Where are we? Why are we destroying ourselves? What is poetry? And all these questions became a poem. Isn't that incredible? I mean, for me, it's incredible, because then I went outside into the forest, and then he started answering me where peace is, where, you know, where poetry is. And then one came, you know, one after the other. And I write constantly. I am walking in the garden here in the compound where I live, or the resort, like, where I live, and I'm writing poetry, just not in my mind. In my mind. Then I come home, and I start putting little words together. And one time I saw on television someone who is a music writer, and that's how he does it. One word, one note here, one note there, and then all of a sudden it becomes a song or a piece of music. That's how poetry is. And the inspiration comes from suffering. And this is things that I'm learning now. And, you know, suffering is what brings inspiration. Did you know that?
No. really?
Incredible. So we need to suffer to go through something like this, but that's how it is. And it's God speaking to you. Another book, very much like the Torah, I don't remember the name now, it tells about, and I think I shared it with all of you the last time, it tells you that God teaches, gives his secrets to his angels and archangels. But the most beautiful secrets that he keeps only for poets. So, I mean, I'm just reading these little things, bits and pieces, as I go along in my learning. And then I find out that we are privileged. We are beings that are so close to God, as we all are, but we listen. You know, poets listen, okay? I'm not saying we're the only ones. I'm saying every human being have the ability to speak with God. But we, the poets, are listening, you know. I listen, and then words come together, you know. And you don't write every day. I don't write every day. I'm very, very selective on my time for poetry, because I live my life the way everyone else lives. There are people that go into the mountains and write there. I wish I could do that. I did that in Greece. I went into the most beautiful places, beautiful homes that I was there by myself with two people bringing me food, you know, two of the helpers. And that was my best time. I was overlooking in Santorini, the caldera. It's called the caldera, where the supposedly Atlantida was there. But anyway, that's another story. But that's where I got my most inspiration, was looking at the water and being up high in the mountains of Santorini. Beautiful, you know.
Sounds gorgeous. Absolutely sounds gorgeous. And how does somebody find your books, your book of poetry, your book of...
Yeah. I have four books out right now that came out since December 2012. And the Building Bridges of Understanding came out in December, but it's a new edition. And I added 47 agreements to find your path. Those are so precious too. And they are worldwide distribution. You can find them in Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and Ex Libris is the company that is one of those companies that are... Ex Libris is a publisher, and recently Penguin and most of those big houses joined them, because they are doing very well. But anyway, you can find them anywhere. And the other one just came out 2 weeks ago. It's called Lucia de Garcia, A Peaceful Light, My Odyssey to the Center of the Heart. And that is really a book that you take with you on a trip. You go to bed and read a poem and meditate on one of the poems. But you can find them anywhere in Amazon. And by the way, the other one in Spanish, Lucia de Garcia, Una Luz de Paz, is coming up in December, very soon, in a month. And so let me see if I have... You want me to give you the website of where my...
Yes, please. That would be fabulous. Thank you.
It's Ex Libris. X L I B as in boy, R I A S, Ex Libris. I'm just getting, grabbing one of my books, okay? And it's Libris.com. And,
perfect.
The other one is BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. And they are distributed right now all over the world. There are many projects that people are coming to me to ask. One is to give it to the schools all over the United States. And that, I'm sure it's not going to happen right away, but I'm looking forward to. And it's that I'm talking with people in higher education, and they want to encourage young people to write poetry. And in life, it's having mentors, okay? Having role models. And anybody who is capable to put a book out, and if you can put it in the right hands, then your mission is done, you know? Your legacy. All I am asking is that my legacy keeps on for the next seven generations. And I already started with my grandchildren. They are part of that transformation. And my seven generations start with me. And you know about the seven generations, don't you?
No, teach me. I would love to learn.
Okay. And let me just tell you how that works. And, of course, I have to grab my book to be able to tell you. Okay. But I don't have it here. But there was it's the seven generations are what it takes for the world, any world, any time to take to transform the world. For example, I already started with me. It's one. My daughter is 2. My grandchildren is 3 generations. Now, it's up to them, and they know already, okay, because I already dedicated the books to them, is they have to take care of the next 4 generations, their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren. And then, by then, there will be another world, maybe, and hopefully a world of peace, unity, and harmony. But I believe very strongly that we will be able to see that happening someday. Peace, you know, peace all over. Yeah. So, anyway,
I agree with you completely. I really do. And I love the 7 generations. In Hawaii, they have the 7 sacred pools, and the one pool pours into the other, and then it pours into the other. And that was the first image that came to my mind.
Yes.
When you said that.
7, you know, number 7 is sacred. And so the 7 generations, for a reason, it is called the 7 generations, for a reason, you know. And I'm sure that that it's because of that number that we have to pay attention on who we are. And I think it's a matter of knowing, okay, where are we and what is our legacy. It doesn't get lost. It just makes our world more, it's like setting the foundations for the next 7 generations. We have that responsibility to do that. And I'm doing it. You know, I'm making sure that my work, my family knows, started with me, and it's up to them, you know. Also, that, I think that's another thing, giving people responsibilities. You were talking before about the message. What message do you have for young people? Give them responsibilities. Okay, what your behavior is today, what your role in our society is making a difference in the next generations. Once they hear that, they know that they have to be serious about what they are doing. If I am born and nobody tells me that I'm special, okay? If nobody tells you, Nicole, many of us are special because we believe in ourselves and because our parents told us you have to be the best you can be. But they were talking about us. Are we talking to the young people and telling them, hey, it's up to you to make the world better, to transform the world. It's up to you. They are going to have to start learning about that. And what I was going to read to you, and I cannot find it now, about the 7 generations, but I will send it to you so you can use it on also when you...
We would love to post it on our website.
It's that they had recently a meeting at the United Nations about the 7 generations. And I'm using it on my latest book. And I have to make sure.
Lucy, I received a note as we're talking from one of our listeners saying that in the Native world, that they're responsible for the next 7 generations as well.
That's what it is. That's what it comes from.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And what I got a message from a friend of mine who said to me, can you come to a couple of years ago? And he's a cinematographer who lives now in Bali. And Morgan Harris. And he comes, he's the son of one that was a precious cinematographer. It was called Mystic Fire. And his father and his father and wife, or his mother, I think it was, they did all the movies for the Dalai Lama. They are very well known. And he's always sending me from Bali things that he finds out. He said, Lucia, find out about the indigenous, the 7 generations. And so I'm using it now in my last book. Let me see. Okay, let me just tell you in my dedication. It says, can I read that?
Yes. Oh, and I was going to ask you to read one of your poems, so yes, please.
I love to. dedication to my husband Alvaro for his commitment to our family, okay? To my daughters, Lucia Carolina and Claudia Maria, for making the true American dream possible. To my grandchildren, Delaney, Lucia, Caterine, and it says, not Caterine, it's Caterine. She wants to make sure. The Spanish, Caterine and Brayden Alvaro Matthew, who will carry the torch of the multicultural ancestors to achieve an inclusive, collaborative, and interdependent society, and to the next seven generations. See? That's what that's the dedication of my book. And I'm already giving them that that is special privilege to say you are part of this package. You know, you come with the I come with the package, okay? I'm not letting
them. That's so magnificent. That's the most beautiful dedication I've ever heard. It's gorgeous.
And I'm going to see if I can find the let me see if I can find the thing about the generations. But if I don't, that's okay, because we will talk.
If you don't, then we will post it on the website. You'll give it to us, and we'll make sure that the listeners have an opportunity to be able to find it. So I think that's so amazing. But I would really love you to read us one of your poems, because I know how powerful your words are.
Okay, I have a few here. And I want to ask you, what will your listeners would like to? There is one about God is the source of everything. That's one.
Let's start there, and then ask me again. But let's start with God is the source of everything.
Do a little bit of one that I love, and it's part of the introduction, and it tells you really who. You know, what I am about. Okay, let me do that, because that's one of my favorites to drill. It's called In the Search for My Life's Meaning, of that yearning inner peace, in the sunrise of my existence, in that boundless space between heaven and earth, I am opening the key to my soul. And all the way through these pages, I found a peaceful light. I've climbed the highest peaks, descended to the deepest valleys, and trudged along fathomless jungles. I have sailed the troubling seas. I have built bridges of understanding wherever I go. I've learned to conquer my triumphs and my tragedies. And I've discovered in my tireless walk my odyssey to the center of the heart. Well, my friends, allow your heart and your spirit to be the reader. Go in search of the mysterious, the unfamiliar, and the fascinating. Capture the essence of each nation, its untold history, its passionate culture, its myriad of people, the sacredness of its temples, and you will conquer your own odyssey. That's part of the introduction.
Oh, my goodness. It's just brilliant.
And it's brilliant. I dedicated this special introduction to a human being that is very special to me, and is my angel, Eric Harrell.
Yes.
Right. I dedicate it to him.
He's my angel, too. I love Eric. There is something about his light that just shines like no other.
Just, I mean, you have no idea what he's going to be in the world. I mean, we haven't seen anything yet, because these are our responsibility. These are the wonderful human beings or angels that we find across our journey, and somehow it grabs you, you know. It grabs
you. It's interesting, because now in some of the projects that I have coming up, I've been interviewing a lot of kids and asking their opinion, and I love
what comes out is so profound and so prolific and so sensational and sometimes so far above what we could ever even fathom or think, but yet we know it's right and it's true. And it's exactly the clear and precise and perfect answer. And so just, I love that you did that. And then how about sharing how you talk to God?
Yes, and how beautiful that you can dedicate your time to children, because they have to be so pure. And so, by the way, talking about my grandchildren, 2 days ago, my daughter from Colorado, where they live, called me. She goes to a wonderful school. It's a private school. It's called Valor. Valor, V-A-L-O-R. It's just
Valor,
wonderful.
Yes.
They prepare them for life, you know, and it's not a regular school, even though. But anyway, my daughter was crying, and she says, "Can you believe my 14-year-old wants to go to Uganda and help the children over there?" I mean, I'm laughing because what do you expect from my grandchildren, you know? What do you expect?
Of course.
This is my little one, Mommy, and she wants to go to Uganda and help the children there and all that. I thought, how beautiful. I said, just thank God. Thank God that Delaney is choosing a country. They gave her, I mean, they have different plans, you know, for them. But they chose that particular, she chose that particular place. They told her it was in Mexico, it was in Brazil, and you name it. They gave them the world to choose from, and she chose Africa, and she chose Uganda. Now, that is my biggest accomplishment. When people say, "Oh,
wow,
how do you feel about this and about the awards and about all these things?" Do you think that's how God pays me back? I mean, you pay me back, God. You know, she's 14, and so we are blessed by these children. Can I read something to you, because I found my goddess?
Yes, please.
It's called God is the Source of Everything. And by the way, when I read, just to let you know, the language becomes very technical because you go into, oh, am I pronouncing it right? And for me, and I have to make sure that people understand that, not with me, with everyone who you're dealing with when they speak different languages. But anyway, this one won the Silver Rose at the World Academy of Arts and Culture, UNESCO, 28th World Congress of Poems, of Poets in 2008. And just a little bit, not everything, but I think you heard this before, is God is the source of all. God has given me everything, pleasure and pain, light and darkness, hope and despair, binary and desire, joy and discontent, harmony and uncertainty. All comes, all goes. In every loss, there is a gain. Well, my friends, where is the reason and what is the poetry? I'm just going over a few, okay?
Yes.
I resist to the temptation to ask myself, why? Why me? Why God? Many are the innocents, victims of unspeakable cruelty. Many are those who daily suffer the indignities of justice. Some are in prison in a wheelchair. Some brains don't work anymore the way they used to. I kneel in prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I know this too shall pass. And then I take you into, you know, close your eyes and take flight into our boundless universe and affirm, I am, I am, I am. And then this is a good way. I'm just talking. I stopped reading my poem. But it's a good way to say when you ask yourself, I am, but what do you answer, you know, to yourself? For me, it was, I am an indomitable warrior at rest. I am a tireless fighter, a survivor. I am an irrepressible spirit. I am a woman of change. I am a soothing whirlwind. I am an incandescent flame. I am a divine soaring angel. And that is all clear and it's all stillness. But anyway, that's how I write. I just wanted to give you a little bit of how my poem...
Lucia, it's such a gift, and it's so wonderful to have had you on the show today. And it's so, your message is so beautiful and so pristine, and on all levels, from the global summits to just shaking someone's hand and looking someone in the eyes and just sharing your heart. The way that you share and care and your words touch so many lives, and it's such a blessing to know you and such an honor to know you and such a wonderful gift for the audience and all the people listening to the show.
I appreciate it was you because, not it was you, I appreciate because we know each other and we respect each other and we honor each other's work. And so the message has to go wherever God takes me, you know, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity because it gives me the opportunity to know myself better, too, you know?
Absolutely. And then the best way for people to find you and to work with you and to have you speak at their events or to order your books or your poetry or products is by going to your website?
Yes. It's the www.luciadegarcia.com. It's an informational website. It's more for you to know what I do and what I've done. And yes, I'm available for speaking engagements. I have a wonderful presentation that is visual and music, and it really shows step by step in a fun way to really build bridges of understanding. I share my travels. I share my bridges from Cambodia to Italy. Every bridge I have crossed, I always take a photograph, and I always feel I am already building those bridges, and I have already built them, you know? So do you want my website, my email, or the website will be
planned? Can people contact you through the website? Does it have a place where they contact? Okay, then that's perfect. So www.luciadegarcia.com. It has your books in English and in Spanish, the poetry, the bridges to understanding, your bio, some amazing videos of the work that you do and what you have done, and truly it's a journey into unity and humanity. And the picture on the front of the website, on the homepage, is one of the best pictures I've ever seen on a website. It just has such a great energy to it. So people should go just to see that gorgeous picture.
Just looking at the contact, yes, you can send me, but also my Facebook, and I'm very good at responding on my Facebook.
Yeah.
Is Lucia de Garcia. Simply Lucia de Garcia. And the store on the website doesn't work because the store is, you order it through Ex Libris, but I have to make sure that people understand that you can order it through Amazon. And also we're available for schools to order books for universities and schools, and they can contact me for
that. Right.
Yeah,
that's so amazing, and I know that for schools, as we were talking about, what a wonderful message for children, and I love what you shared today about the rituals and the unity, and it's been such a pleasure and such a joy and so much fun to have you on. And every time that I talk to you, I learn more about the magnificence and who you are. And it's like I'm wrapping Christmas presents for me because, you know, each and every gift is just so beautiful and just so special. And I love knowing you and I love what you're doing in the world. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to be with us and to share your beautiful messaging, your beautiful heart, and especially your beautiful words.
Thank you so much. And thanks to you and the work you're doing for humanity, because your stories are so precious and I heard you speak. And so I am glad to be part of this collaboration. So call me anytime. I would love to do another one on a specific subject. Maybe we can do the Mayan Awakening. I did a documentary and it's not out yet. They have some technicalities with the producer.
Be wonderful. That would be so much fun. So we will arrange that. We will bring you back. And I wish you the most incredible day, a beautiful, spectacular week. And again, thank you so much for being with us today.
All have a great day there too, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Lucia. How magical. How marvelous. I mean, what an incredibly powerful woman. What an incredibly brave, adventurous, loving, just connected woman to the world, to beingness of all that is, and the joy and the beauty. I mean, just what a glorious gift. So what a fabulous way to start the day. So I thank you for being with us. I'm so excited of what we have coming up. Arjuna is back in the country, and we will be talking about deeper love, deeper communication, deeper romance, and he will be on our show as well as on Our Glass Bride, talking about truly one of the greatest secrets of all time, which is the depth of relationships. And Matt Weinstein, one of my favorite people on the planet, is going to be coming on, and of course he is the head of Playfair and the funniest person that I know. I've never been with Matt that I haven't just, my ribs hurt the next day from laughing so hard. And he works within Fortune 500 companies with the big executives around the world, and he knows how to make life and everything fun. And his stories are the funniest stories, so relatable to your life. And stories, when you hear his story, you'll be telling them to every single person that you know. You will be repeating them over and over and over again for years and years and years to come. They are truly the best, the funniest, the brightest, and most hysterical, and it's going to be the most fun day that we've had here, having Matt Weinstein on our program, and he will be on November 16th, so we're so looking forward to that. So I wish you an incredible week. This is Nicole Brandon from Our Glass Bride, and a very special thank you for our guest today, Lucia de Garcia, Bridges of Understanding, and of course, she's a poet laureate, and incredible, incredible outreach of life, service, and the oneness of all things. So thank you and have a marvelous week. We look forward to talking to you soon.